Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
It's fall, y'all. Welcome back to another edition of Crusader Talk. Temperatures are ticking down, which means the competition heats up. And we're talking all things William Carey Athletics. Talking a lot of soccer today, a little bit of volleyball as well. Josh is out today, but he will be possibly joining us late in the program. He's out calling volleyball right now as William Carey's in a match against Dillard right now. They're in the third set. Carey's already up 2-0. And Dillard and Carey are fighting it out in a tough one there in that third set. But we look forward to hearing from him, possibly some remarks from Coach Rhonda Shirley as well. But I'm Caleb Hamill, and we're happy to have you along with us. Dalton Stanford's behind the board. And joining us in studio to start off the show is Hattiesburg's biggest celebrity as it comes to William Carey and NIL. That's Lauren Jones from the women's soccer team. Lauren, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you for having me.
All right, so Lauren, first of all, this is not your first time on the show. I'm glad to have you back. You were here with Chloe Strickland. I want to say it was last time that we had you in studio. But big senior year already underway for you in this William Carey program. A lot of good wins already in the book. And the Crusaders right now sit tied atop the SSAC with UT Southern. And you and I were talking before we got on the air. We're all looking at Wednesday whenever UT Southern and Life play one another. That's a big opportunity for Carey to possibly make that jump if Life can either force the tie or even get a win against UT Southern. That could be a big boost for this program and the hunt for the SSAC title that you want every single year.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so Lauren, first of all, tell us a little bit about this year's team. I know last year, you know, done and gone. You saw some players graduate. Some went on to different teams and whatever else. But you come in with a different group of girls, some of them the same, some different. But all together, y'all are really starting to figure it out here as of late. Tell us a little bit about what that process has been like and what's different from last year to this year.
Yeah, definitely. It's definitely been a lot of growth. We lost a lot of great players last year, a lot of individual players. But I think that this year we are really a family, and it's taken us some time to kind of work out the kinks, but we're really, you know, growing together and working on that chemistry and working together instead of just like individually, you know, play it to this one person and hope that they do it. We're all, you know, having each other's backs and supporting each other on the field.
Yeah, I think about individuals that have shined already this year. Obviously, Christina Salmon, you know, shines because she's the one that scored the most goals. But this past week was kind of interesting because Esselina Halakutle was the one that really got into the games and really was a difference maker as far as goals were scored. What's it like with her on the team, this being her first year at Carey?
Es is awesome. She came in and was just ready to work, and she every day at practice just is there to work. She's always going to track back and find her man. She's always going to, you know, dribble around five players whenever we need her to most, and she's always making runs, always working hard, keeping her head down. She's just a great player, great girl. Love Essa. Really happy to have her.
And she's a joy, too. I mean, I always catch her smiling as well as several other players. I think about several of the different ones out there. Zalma Torre is another one. A big smile out there.
Yes.
You can see it shining from a mile away. But your role on this team is, you know, not one that always lends itself to having the open goal like Essa or Christina. What's it been like for you from year to year to where you are now in what this program needs from you to be successful?
Well, I really just have always said, like, whatever I can do to get minutes, because I started off playing midfield, and then obviously last year I was right back, and then this year transitioning into center back. It's really just what can I do to support my team, and where is my best fit on the team, and just kind of figuring out that role year to year. And this year just so happens to be in the defense, center back. So
now tell us a little about you got one goal this year. That was against Thomas, and walk us through how it got to your feet and how you got that goal scored.
Well, Megan, my roommate, actually was the one that assisted that ball. And I had been talking for the past few games about how badly I wanted a goal, like senior year and everything. And so whenever she hit me that ball and I like finally placed it, I was just elated. And especially because it came from her and we're such good friends, that, you know, made it all the more sweeter.
That's a special little bond right there. Now, as we talked with you last time, you told us a little bit about your background. You come from Hattiesburg, your Sacred Heart player, played in many state championships up there. So already used to the level of, you know, championship caliber team playing at William Carey has here in the collegiate ranks. And that also caught the attention of the city of Hattiesburg. Tell us a little bit about how this whole NIL deal came to be.
Well, it's really about, you know, conditioning players that are from Hattiesburg area and showing them that they can have a great college experience in Hattiesburg and play on a bigger stage and stay in their hometown and, you know, have the support of their city. And I think it's been really great that that's been an opportunity that's kind of been given to me and that I can kind of show people that this is great and this is amazing that we can do this in our city.
Yeah. Hal, who reached out to you first about this opportunity? How did you get selected as William Carey's kind of representative in this program?
Well, Mayor Toby Barker reached out to me and kind of spoke with me about it. And just because, you know, I went to Sacred Heart, I started out with Hattiesburg Youth Soccer Association, and HFC really got my start with soccer. And then obviously now I'm at William Carey, just really homegrown, really very much a Hattiesburger. So I think that's really where it came from.
We're talking with Lauren Jones of William Carey Women's Soccer, and this is a big deal. I mean, NIL deals, especially at the NIA level, are not as prevalent as you would, you know, say maybe at the Division I. Obviously, people think of college football every time they think about these deals. But do you feel kind of, you know, honored? Is it kind of a surreal feeling to feel, oh, I'm one of these people that have an NIL deal? I have that attached to my name now.
Absolutely. It's such an honor. And I just hope that I can, you know, kind of do it justice and really, you know, do what I'm supposed to be doing with it.
Are there any, like, events or, you know, certain meet and greet type things or different responsibilities they're expecting you to be a part of in order to be this kind of ambassador for Hattiesburg?
Absolutely. So I'll definitely go to some meet and greets in some city, you know, wide events and speak there just about what it is to be a student athlete coming from Hattiesburg and then now playing on the collegiate level in Hattiesburg. And then obviously talking about what it's like to be here on my social media and things like that.
So, Lauren, just kind of turning our focus back to this soccer team this season. I know y'all just got off of a big road trip. What's it like being on the road out in Georgia? Josh and I always talk about how over half this conference is in Georgia, and it feels like we're always on the road. But to go out to play Life and Dalton State in a three-day span, and now all of a sudden you're back here and ready to go on the road again to Georgia. What is that like for you, who are having to balance out schoolwork and soccer all the time?
Yeah, well, you're right. It's definitely tiring, and you're right, it's a lot to balance, but it's also a lot of fun. And it being my senior year, like, I'm really trying to soak up every last minute of it because it is fun, and you're with all your friends, and you're getting to spend every minute with them and also play the sport you love while, you know, still getting a great education. So I'm just trying to soak it all up.
Yeah. So big wins this past weekend. Let's start with Life. Yeah, 2-1 win against Life on Friday night. This was a match that was probably tighter than some people you realize going in. I think we all in this room knew how much a competitor Life is. But Essa, I mentioned her earlier, stepped forward, got the scoring started in the 51st minute. Then all of a sudden you find yourself tied as you're getting down to those final 10 minutes or so. What was it like out there to see that go-ahead goal scored, and then you get to hold on to win it?
Well, it was definitely a lot of tension the last, you know, 10 minutes or whatever it was that we had the lead. So it was a lot of, you know, chaos and stopping the clock, and, you know, it's getting really gritty with the other team. So it's kind of just, you know, we all need to take a deep breath and really focus and remain calm and just do what we know how to do. And I think that we definitely did that.
Certainly did. And it was pretty awesome to see how quickly Essa got that response goal right after Life equalized. I mean, you're looking at maybe just 2 minutes of gameplay and automatically, boom, carries right back up. You know, one of these things, and we're going to get to the Dalton State match as well, but one of the big things for Carey, I feel like that's their MO, is retaining ball possession. You know, somehow, some way, Carey always finds a way to keep the ball in that attacking third and limit their opponent's opportunities. What does it take to actually maintain that and that energy throughout a match?
Yeah, I think that's really something that's very valuable with our team. It's something that we work on a lot at practice, and something that Danny and Ryan, our coaches, stress a lot is just, you know, moving the ball, and that's how we play. Like, we just move the ball. And so if we just relax and, you know, play how we know how to play, then that kind of comes naturally to our offense, and I think that that's something that us in the back line at least are very thankful for, that, you know, that we can kind of play it off to them and know that they're going to keep the ball and, you know, save us a little bit of work at the same time.
Yeah, and now just to kind of look at what Dalton State's match featured, obviously a little bit better of a result as far as the scoring is concerned, but two late goals to actually put it away. Kerry was tied for a good while, almost 20 minutes or so of the final moments of that match. And with that, it took, of all people, Rosie Fernandez to put one in to put Kerry up, and then Essa to kind of put it away finally to go up 3-1. That was a tight one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So little time to talk about all things soccer. Got a big slate ahead of you with a trip down to Point in West Point, Georgia on Wednesday. And then you get to come back. Have Faulkner on Saturday. Lauren, appreciate you joining us here today, and look forward to seeing what you and the Crusaders have left in this 2024 schedule.
Thank you so much.
All right. That's Lauren Jones from William Carey Women's Soccer. Chasing down a hopeful senior year national championship. We're all rooting for her and Coach Owens and company. When we return, a look back at this week, also talking about the men's soccer side of things. Meanwhile, in volleyball, it's 2-1. William Carey Diller just won that third set, so have to fend off that team for the remainder of this one. More to come as Crusader Talk continues.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
So good to talk to Lauren Jones. Hey, also always lovely to have people in studio, but she especially just a great ambassador of the city of Hattiesburg and a good, you know, talker of William Carey soccer as well. We may see if Lauren sticks around in the Hattiesburg area after she's done. Might have to. Yeah, Clayton Rush has some time he needs off to bring her into the booth and do some analyst work for William Carey Soccer. Clayton, I'm not trying to run you out of the booth. We love you. We always appreciate your input, but you know, got to watch out. Lauren, smooth talker, knows her stuff. Might be out of a job. I'm just kidding. All right, we roll on. And by the way, if you missed that interview and you're listening live on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3, you can catch it on demand wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Crusader Talk, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, all of those things. You can find it there and listen back to our show anytime you would like. All right, so to kind of look back at some of what we were talking about, you know, just kind of scrape the surface of NIL stuff as it relates to Lauren Jones and women's soccer at William Carey. This is so cool. I mean, really appreciate that Mayor Toby Barker and the city of Hattiesburg have elected to go ahead and do this because it's not just a pay-for-play type of thing like we're seeing in the college football level where you have a price you set, minimum salary, and you expect somebody to pay that or a group of people to pay that to make you go to school there. This is more of what NIL truly is supposed to be, and that's giving athletes an assignment of responsibilities to be a brand ambassador for them and shine. And I really think not only is this beneficial to people like Lauren Jones and Malia Grayson, who are the two that the city of Hattiesburg chose, but this is a good thing for the city of Hattiesburg too. I think this is actually a true return on investment they're expecting to get out of this, because I don't know that people truly have realized what kind of talent we have here in the city of Hattiesburg. Because obviously you've got Lauren, who played at Sacred Heart. You had Malia Grayson, who played at, I believe it was Hattiesburg High, for her basketball career in high school. But you also have the likes of PCS that's producing some baseball talent, a couple football players here and there. Always, you know, good women's basketball team over there as well. You see a lot of those girls come to William Carey. Guys, too, can produce some talent there. And then also you have just down the road, you know, Oak Grove is producing talent. You go just across the river, Petal's got people as well. I mean, this general area is really a hotbed that I'm afraid people are about to find out exists. And all of a sudden, people are going to be getting the talent left and right, and it's going to leave, you know, some of these areas that we really need it. But all in all, it's quite the gem. And I'm so happy that we have people like Lauren Jones that are not just William Carey athletes, but also ambassadors for athletics in the city of Hattiesburg, because she's a good one, and Carey did a good job to find her and keep her here. And look forward to see what she and Lee Grayson do as representatives of the city of Hattiesburg as it relates to athletics. So with that said, let's kind of move back into recapping of this week, as we promised. Mention the girls, women's, I should say, soccer team got wins this week against Life 2-1 and then Dalton State 3-1. Men's soccer team had the same exact trip, but not the same results right there. And boy, it was a target on their back. We've talked about this, you know, for a while now, how big it was to be a 9-0-2 team going into this week. And I think last show we were, you know, talking maybe just a different record then, but still, nevertheless, no losses on the year going into this week, but they come out with two big lumps as Life was able to get the better end of William Carey over in Marietta, Georgia, winning that one 2-0 over the Crusaders. And then the one that we all had circled, a matchup against Dalton State on Sunday. And the reason they play on Sunday, I found this out later, Dalton State actually has a football team that plays on Saturdays, uses the same field and facility. And so with that, they push their soccer matches to be on Saturday, or Sunday, I should say, instead of Saturday. And that's why the Crusaders play the Roadrunners then. But this is a very interesting match, and I'll kind of focus more on the Dalton State one than anything, because this is a number one ranked Dalton State team, and a chance for William Carey to not only boost their resume, is, you know, William Carey's already top 25, but a chance also to get a possible first place in the SSAC. That was your thought going into the week. Obviously, losing to Life kind of put a damper on that. But still, Dalton State, within the first 10 minutes, got their first goal scored and go up 1-0. It was not until the 47th minute where Carey was finally able to get a goal scored by Georgia Jukovic, and Colby Godbolt got the assist right there that equalized and made the game level at 1. Now, here's where it got a little controversial. And I know Carey had some other opportunities to score even earlier than that goal in the 47th minute. But you're tied into the final 10 minutes. You get to the 85th minute. You're talking about 5 minutes away from this match ending in a draw, which honestly would not have been the worst thing for either of these teams. As tough as they are atop not just the conference standings, but atop the NAIA as a whole in men's soccer, could have ended in a draw. But with about 5 minutes to go in this match, there is a penalty kick, and what has been described to me as a very soft penalty call was made in the box on William Carey's defenders, and Dalton State got to kick a penalty kick and scored. And with that, they went up 2-1, and Carey would be unable to get back into it for the final few minutes. And with that, Dalton State comes away victorious 2-1 rather than it ending in a draw. Here's where a big disparity sets in. Now, keep in mind, a majority of what I'm going to tell you happened as a result of this penalty kick that was awarded. But prior to that, here's what the cautions look like. Carey with 3, Dalton State with 1. That was after 64 minutes of play. That was the ledger. 3 for William Carey, all of them in the second half, and 1 for Dalton State. After that penalty kick was awarded, or even as it was awarded, probably a direct result, 4 different Crusaders got cautions, including the bench area. I don't know if that was specifically Coach Farrell or not. I didn't get confirmation from him. But nevertheless, the final count in cautions was 7 for William Carey, 1 for Dalton State. That's pretty lopsided. I mean, look at fouls too. You had a pretty even match. 18 for Carey, 16 for Dalton State. Pretty even in the corner kicks, as each team had just 3. William Carey actually outshot Dalton State 13-8. Dalton State just had more on goal with 6 to William Carey's 3. Which really makes you look down at that ledger at the one lopsided thing that I mentioned, and that's the yellow cards that were given to William Carey players and personnel versus the one that was given against Dalton State. And this is something Clayton and I have talked about before. Dalton State is a team that always will bring out the most aggressive nature of any opponent they have. You look at last year, it was that match that caused William Carey to be missing a handful of players against Mobile. And lucky for them, none of these players that were in the seven were repeat offenders for that match itself. All of them were different players. You had Leo Toro, Jamie Wynn, Colby Godbolt, Luca Brandich, Alessandro Villarreal, and Roberto Rangel. And then the coaching staff or bench area, it just assigns it as team in the stat column. But I want to say that was more than likely, and sorry, coach, if it wasn't, but I would assume it's Coach Farrell or one of his assistants. But all that said, it does not have bearing on ejections that will carry over into the next match, which is an absolute plus for this men's soccer team because they have another conference game coming up. They have Point on the road, just like the women do on Wednesday. Their match will start at 3:30 Central Time, and they'll be back home Saturday to face Faulkner. The big match that circled now left on the schedule for William Carey, and not to discredit Point or Faulkner, is Mobile. Yeah, Mobile is the team that year in and year out is one that is competitive right up there with Dalton State. They are in the upper echelon of ranks this year as well in the NAIA. And it's really going to be interesting how Carey responds. You know, haven't had a loss coming into last week, and now you come away with two. So all of a sudden, all of these different things that you built up in your head of, not only are we going to sweep the conference this year, but then we're going to get that momentum and ride it all the way to the NAIA National Championship site, and so on and so forth. Several of these things still within reach. The SSAC may not be, it may take a little bit of help from some other things falling, but Life's not a team that's competing for that top spot. They're a team that's just 3-4 in the league now. Dalton State, obviously, they are still undefeated in the SSAC. And when you look at what Mobile has done so far this year, as I get everything pulled up over here, their conference standings show that they lead in points right now. They do have a loss. They're 6-1, but they have 18 points. Dalton State with 16, Carey with 15. So if you get a win against Mobile to end the regular season, completely changes the complexion of what the week looked like after last week. All of a sudden, your season looks completely different, and it could end up being that Carey's atop the league and holds that one seed and gets to host a ball game there at Danny Owens Field. That's more than likely going to be the case anyway as the conference tournament begins. You get that first home site game, and then you go over to finish it off in Alabama. But though they take a couple losses, still a bright season ahead of Coach Farrell and company, as he thinks that's a good learning experience for his guys. When we return, we'll peek over at the volleyball match and see how that's going and may get a word from Coach Rhonda Shirley, as well as Josh joining us as Crusader Talk continues next.
From the coaches to the student athletes and the fans that cheer them on, you're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Just a couple more segments with you here on this edition of Crusader Talk. I'm Caleb Hamill. Josh West is out covering volleyball tonight. By the way, if you see Josh this week, give him a pat on the back because this is potential plans. Maybe this is getting too far away from William Carey Athletics and more about personal lives and all, but he and his wife more than likely going to welcome in their second son into the world, so he's going to be a busy guy. This may be one of his last broadcasts for just a little bit. It's hard to keep a man down, even with a baby at home, to keep him away from the microphone, but he's going to be a busy guy later on this week. We wish him and Stacy all the best as they look to welcome in their little boy into this world. All right, so we've talked a little bit about both men's and women's soccer here in the program so far. Other things to come up this week, women's golf finished up in the Hot Springs, Arkansas Battle for the Belt on today. Looking forward to seeing how those results all panned out. You can check out carryathletics.com for all the information relating to that, but pretty good showing for what I've heard so far in that one. Volleyball is continuing to try to wrap up their matchup with Dillard. Right now the Crusaders are up 23 to 14 in that third set. They already lead Dillard 2-1 in the match. And so with that, Kerry just looking to put that one away. Coming up, we mentioned Point will be on the Crusaders' schedule on Wednesday for soccer. Both men and women travel out there to West Point. Girls will play at 1, guys play at 3:30, or just whatever the set time is after the completion of the women's match. Volleyball will be at home Friday. So if you're in Hattiesburg on a Friday night and want to be out there at Ben Waddle's, at the Ben Waddle Sports Facility at 6 o'clock, that's where you can catch that matchup in a conference game with the Life Running Eagles. Then on Saturday, a lot of action all the way around. You've got the swimming teams that are going to be at Thomas, Georgia. Nice road test for them just north of Tallahassee as they'll be traveling. But at home this week, we're going to have competing sporting events on campus as Point will be playing volleyball against the Crusaders at 1 o'clock. And then at the same time, just offset by 30 minutes, the women's soccer team will square off against Faulkner at 1:30. And a big match for the men's soccer team at 4 o'clock, also facing Faulkner. Faulkner, a team that's quietly been pretty competitive here lately in the SSAC. They are the lone, if you want to call it, blemish on Dalton State's schedule so far in conference play. They're the lone draw of the year. In fact, Dalton State 11-0-1. That's the only thing that's not a win in their book. They tied Faulkner 2-2 earlier this season. But Dalton has wins over Mobile and Cary. Right now, soccer standings. Mobile atop with 18 points. They're 6-1 with one loss against Dalton. Dalton at 5-0-1. Again, that tie to Faulkner. Then Cary at 5-2 with 15 points. That is a 5-2 conference record with losses to Dalton and Life. But still left on the schedule, Faulkner and Mobile. The reason I brought up Faulkner is because they're right behind William Cary with 13 points, a 4-2-1 record. And check out their two losses so far this year. I mentioned the one draw is against Dalton State, but their losses this season are to UT Southern and Life. So they have a loss against Life as well and dropped one to UT Southern by a score of 2-1. So that's a look at those sports. Volleyball just finished up and got their win against Dillard. And let's see if we can hear what that final point sounded like. This is Josh on the call. I haven't heard this yet, so let's just hear what it sounded like out there.
What we see out of Bax, she's already a spectacular player. She'd be unstoppable. There is a point for Cary, and there's a match. Gedges and the Crusaders take the fourth set, 25-16, and they take the match here this evening here at the Ben Waddle Sports Complex.
All right, so good job for the Crusaders and great job for Josh West out there on the call. He's going to be visiting with Coach Rhonda Shirley here in just a moment, so we'll see if we get a chance to hear what that interview sounded like in just a little bit. But until then, we'll carry it on right here from our Supertalk Hattiesburg studio. So that was a look at not just the result tonight, but also the week ahead. So again, if you're looking for stuff to watch on campus, you're going to want to be at the Ben Waddle Sports Facility Friday night at 6 o'clock against Life for volleyball. Then you have your pick between volleyball and soccer on Saturday, as it'll be Point in volleyball at 1 o'clock. And then soccer against Faulkner starting at 1:30 for the women's match and 4 o'clock for the men's match there at Danny Owens Field. All right. So, Dalton, I don't know about you, but we always think about crossover season in sports as being, you know, football to basketball and then basketball to baseball. This is a weird one for us at Cary. We've got all the kinds of, you know, soccer and volleyball, and then, can you believe it? November 1st, we're going to have basketball already here.
You're flown by, hadn't it?
No,
it
already.
It seems like just what? Last week we were all doing our taxes, and now it's almost Thanksgiving and Christmas time and basketball season.
Don't bring up the T word. Uncle Sam loves me. And this, it's one thing you have W-2 income, but then you have all the contract work type stuff. And they love to eat that stuff up, man. You think your bank account's big, and then Uncle Sam takes his chunk out of it.
I'm telling you, man, you got to log your mileage. That's how you make
it back. That's true. You make a little bit of it back there. A couple business expenses along the way help as well. You're still spending money to, I guess, get a little bit back. But I guess it softens the blow a little bit there. But yeah, I'm excited. You know, Josh is going to be on the call of most of the basketball games this year, just with his ability to travel. It also gives both he and I a little bit of a break in our seasons, because I'll have a little bit of time off from late December to January while he's doing basketball, and then I pick right back up in February with baseball.
Right.
Whereas he'll have more of the, you know, kind of a little bit of volleyball here and there this go around, then basketball. But there's a bit of a wide span between, you know, basketball season and how much softball we get to call over there at William Carey. So his break is honestly a little bit more like right now,
yeah,
with how long volleyball did not play at home. Can you believe it? It was almost the entire month of September they did not have home matches. But, boy, they are rolling right now. I mean, just to put it in perspective, let me kind of pull up this volleyball schedule and walk us through it. Carey right now is 17-6 after their win tonight against Dillard, and they are currently on a six-game win streak, and they dropped a match against Faulkner back on September 21st. That's their last loss they had, losses to Mobile and Faulkner in conference action. But a big-time set left to finish on the schedule, because you get to face Mobile again after you lost to them earlier this year. You get to face Blue Mountain again, which is a team that you handed their first loss in SSAC play in, what was it, 42 matches we talked about
something
a couple
like
weeks
that,
ago?
Yeah.
It was incredible. But also a chance to face a tough UT Southern team again. You blanked them 3-0 last time out. Several matches left, because it's going to be a fight right down to the finish as Carey will wrap up at home November 9th against Loyola. And they're going to just keep rolling and rolling and rolling until finally we get to the SSAC tournament, which will start on November 14th. So slight break between final match against Loyola and the conference tournament. But still, November is right around the corner, y'all.
Well, funny enough, today is the 14th, literally 1 month away.
Yeah, 1 month away.
How
from
about that?
Tournament play for William Carey. And then on the basketball front, you mentioned how much excitement is centered around that program right now. Both women coming off their year from last year, and the men's team, kind of a surge with personnel. They really like the guys that Coach Nye and Coach PJ and Coach Bird have recruited coming into this next season. I had to keep a lot of those guys under wraps to make sure they weren't poached away. Gosh, pause right there. It's incredible that, yeah, I talked about the city of Hattiesburg being kind of an unturned over stone when it comes to showcasing our talent that we have here in the city. And Carey's kind of been the secret farm for some D1 programs. And it doesn't matter what the sport is. You talk about people trying to recruit away our track and field stars, in addition to some soccer players here or there. Even basketball talent is pretty good as well. We see a lot of the JUCO talent that we have here in this state that some others may not recognize. And then all of a sudden they say, oh, but Coach Knight, you know, historic coach over there, is looking at this guy. Maybe I need to have my eye on him.
Well, funny enough, I was talking about this earlier with one of my coworkers. And full disclosure, everybody, I went to Carey many odd years ago. And now I work for USM, so I guess I'm kind of playing both sides of the field here. But it's been well known for a while that William Carey has always been a very sought-after place for a lot of athletes, even international athletes. Because when I was there, plenty of athletes from all over, incredibly talented, that were getting all these fantastic, you know, deals with other teams and bigger, better colleges and things like that. And it's just something about it. The coaches, the staff that's there helping them all out, it's just a breeding ground for success for any sport.
And it's a school that's really growing. This is of no disrespect to any of our other Mississippi universities, but there's a shift that you start to see, not necessarily enrollment numbers dwindling in some other schools in the state, but you see Carey's exponentially rising by comparison.
Oh, yeah.
And Carey's not just, you know, taking that as a feather in their cap. They're going out and they're using this growth to grow their campus, to increase the amenities of their place.
Yeah.
Josh and I joined Coach Farrell. Clayton joined us as well for lunch at the cafeteria the other day.
Oh, you didn't even think to pick up the phone and call me. I was 10 minutes down the highway.
You know what? I am so sorry, Dalton. That was not a slight towards you. It was honestly an invitation from the soccer coach that it was his dollar that we dined on. So I'll make sure to drop your name in the hat for next time that he wants to do that for us. But still, to go out there on Fried Chicken Wednesday, which, by the way, I didn't even get the fried chicken. There was a shrimp Creole station out there right next to the chicken, and it just looked so good. I said, you know what? I'm going to come back again anyway. I'm going to try this today. It did not disappoint.
I'm pretty sure every member of the Baptist Student Union would tell you not getting the fried chicken on Wednesday is a sin.
Possible. Very possible. have to talk to my father-in-law who went to seminary if he can back me up or back them up. One of the two. Somebody's going to be right at somebody. The end of the day. But great amenities at William Carey that continue to flourish. Good dorm situations. Oh, yeah. Good community. I think that's the most underrated thing about William Carey that you cannot put pen to paper on and translate to people unless they are there and experience it.
I completely agree. I mean, it's changed so much even from when I was there. I graduated 2020, and then I came back a couple of years later. I was like, oh my God, how much has grown and changed? And it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it's a family. I get in there to eat on a Wednesday, and I got howdied and helloed from all kinds of different people. It was just a good little reunion every single time.
Amen. There you go.
All right. So when we come back, award our Crusader of the Week and wrap it up here on Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and SuperTalkHattiesburg.com.
Sports Network and Crusader Talk as William Carey gets a 3-1 win tonight over Dillard. They lost a little focus in that third set. We're joined by Rhonda Shirley, the head coach of William Carey. And Coach Shirley, for whatever the team lost in the third set, they got it back and then some of the fourth set. Sophia Bettini goes into an absolute just zone, goes unconscious, rattles off 7 in a row, part of an 8-0 run for Carey to put that fourth set away, and then Gedges finishes it off. What a win for Carey to get their 17th of the year.
Yes, I'm very proud of them. You know, we've struggled to play on our home court, and I think with such a young group that I have that is starting, I feel a lot of times they feel the pressure. So tonight, I just decided I'm going to come in and really be hard on them and put pressure on them in the practice gym. But then when we get to the home court and just come out ready to play, just to relax, and I just told them, you know what, have fun. This is what you guys have trained to do every day. Just go out and enjoy it. And if you do that, I believe that you're going to get the win.
Rather than being passive in that third set, or rather losing focus, I think it was maybe a little bit of passivity. There were a couple of opportunities to make plays where they tried to let plays happen, and they were caught watching instead of making the play. Did you notice that?
I did. And I think that the other team just made some adjustments, and then we thought we could do the same thing that we did in the first two sets. And they made adjustments, and I give them credit for that. And we just kind of were, again, I don't think that we were not focused and didn't believe we could do it. I just think we didn't make the adjustments as quick as they did, and it caught us. And then we talked about it a little bit, and we went into the fourth set, and they made the adjustments they needed to. But I feel like this team still needs to be pushed a little bit, and not everything to be easy for them.
His team is now, though, winners of 6 in a row, second in the conference, 17-6. For a team that won 15 matches a year ago, you've got a big 4-match conference homestand coming up now. This was a big win to get some good vibes going on this floor.
Yes. This was a good timing. I mean, we were supposed to play Dillard at a different time, but I always think that, I mean, God always has a better vision than us, and it was good for us because we hadn't been playing well on our home court, and I think this was a good feel for us. And for us to feel this going into the next 4 matches we're playing on our home court, we needed that going in, because I do feel like I have a team that can play really they've been playing strong, but can even play stronger at the end of the season. I mean, I had a team last year that we played our best at the end. And if I can get this team to do that, we don't know what is possible. I mean, I know what is possible, but I don't, you know, you just never know. And so I'm just excited for them because they are so young. And sometimes I even forget that. We are very green. We are a very green team when it comes to our starters and even our bench players. We just are. And I have to learn to give them some grace. And I think lately I have. And I think now they're finally building that confidence to go, okay, I can do the things that we are doing in practice and bring them out onto the, you know, the competition court.
All right, so that was Coach Rhonda Shirley joining Josh, their post game over there at the Ben Waddle Sports Facility, as William Carey takes the win 3-1 over Dillard in that home match. So good for the Crusaders, good for Coach Shirley and company trying to get back focused here for the final long haul of the regular season. All right, so time now to talk about our Crusaders of the Week. On the men's side, going to give it to men's golf. Ethan Holloway in the Music City Collegiate, he placed third, in a tie for third. But, you know, a tie for third or just plain third is still pretty impressive when it's out of 104 golfers. He posted rounds of 70, 67, and 76 for an overall minus three in the tournament. And then on the volleyball side, one of the players that, you know, Josh had high remarks for when we were talking earlier was Katarina Vulich. 2-0 in the week as far as the matches are concerned. 69 assists, averaging almost 10 per set. And three aces to go with 11 digs. That's about 1.5 digs per set in that category of statistics. So Ethan Holloway and Katarina Vulich, our Crusaders of the Week. And so, again, just to kind of reiterate to you the schedule that you have to look forward to this week, mentioned big road match for the men's and women's soccer teams are going to be at Point on Wednesday, 1 o'clock for the women, 3:30 for men. Volleyball against Life University. By the way, Ben Milam going to be back in town to call that one, so good to have him back into the fold for this week of Crusader Athletics. He'll be doing that volleyball match and then following up with the two soccer matches on Saturday as they'll be facing Faulkner. I'll be handling the duties at the volleyball facility where Carey faces Point at 1 o'clock. And then on the road, the swimming team for men and women are at Thomas University over there in Thomasville, Georgia. Tell you what, it has been a very pleasant week to watch athletics. And if you're thinking about going out there for soccer, wear your jacket because it is going to turn into a crisp, cool weekend here in Hattiesburg. Did you see the forecast for Wednesday, by the way?
I haven't seen it, but one of my coworkers was telling me that it's supposed to be in the 50s.
It's like low a high 50s? Of 69 or 70 on Wednesday.
That honestly sounds fantastic.
It sounds fantastic. A lot different compared to what my Alexa device told me on Sunday, where it said, Alexa, what's the weather? Oh, it's right now it's 61 degrees with a high of 91 degrees.
Oh,
like,
no.
What a swing. No, give me fall weather. Should be a good and fantastic one if you're out and about. But our thanks to Lauren Jones, in the meantime, for joining us earlier on the program. Again, you can catch her interview on demand wherever you get your podcast. Just search for Crusader Talk. Also, thanks to Josh West for getting that interview with Coach Rhonda Shirley. And, hey, give him some prayers, him and Stacy, as they look to welcome in their baby boy this week. For Dalton Stanford, I'm Caleb Hamill. Until next time, good night, God bless, and go Saters.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.